If y'all ever prayed for me, pray for me today. I was texting Bronk this morning. I said, you know what? When that caterpillar's in the cocoon, being transformed into the butterfly, you know, that's not a whole lot of fun for the caterpillar. And I read again this morning that process. It's a horrible thing from the caterpillar's point of view, because the caterpillar is going to be no more. During that process, it literally gets disassembled. Those of you that's been doing this now, completing the purging process, coming and spending that time, am I the only one that feels disassembled? You know, there's a tearing down of the old caterpillar. It's no fun for the caterpillar, I'm telling you. Good riddance is true. But that thing, I just reading it out of, you know, just the natural process, it literally turns to mush. And that's exactly how I feel today. Now, it's not that I don't have a lesson. I do, and I know it's the Lord. It so ties in with Alan's message. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Father, we bow before you. Lord, let us never, ever take ownership of a service. Lord, I don't know what else to do except start with the lesson that you gave me, but I just want you to know we're keenly aware that you're here and that you're in charge. And you just feel free to do whatever you want. And we're all listening. We're all attentive. Best we know how, we'll follow you. We will obey you. If you agree with that in Jesus' name, you can say, amen. Amen. So, Romans chapter 12. I also said this to Bronk this morning. I'm just going to go ahead and include this. I told Bronk, though, I said, those 8 consecutive prophecies that came through Pastor Bronk, we have kind of named it around here, Bring Me Gold, although it's really the title of the first one. I think they're calling it the blueprint for 2020. It's the same thing. But I told Bronk this morning, I said, man, I got to tell you, because I'm going through that process of listening to them 30 times. I'm on number 21. Some people have already finished 30 times and going for 50. But I got to tell you, those prophecies have been a lifeline to me. They have absolutely been a lifeline. When I get like I can't pray another hour, I can't fast another day, I listen to those again. And the promises God makes in there, what he's holding out as hope to be possessed by faith for us, it's worth it. Mush or no mush, we can't stop at the mushiness. If the caterpillar stops at the mushy, what was the purpose? See, we've got to go on through the metamorphosis so that we come out on the other side. He's not trying to make a better version of you. He's making a new you. He already has in the spirit, but this transformation comes by the renewing of the mind, and that's the part that we're in the process of. Okay. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, and I have to stop every time. When you find the word therefore, you need to understand what it's there for. So this is chapter 12, and what he's saying, everything that Paul has written, chapters 1 through the end of 11. Boy, is that a ton of revelation knowledge. I mean, those 11 chapters are like a Picasso, a Rembrandt. No wonder God chose Paul to be able to say it through, you know. Based on everything that is laid out in those 11 chapters. Therefore, because of all of that, I beseech you means I beg you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Because God can't do it for you. God's never going to fast a day for you in your life. He's never going to get you by the ear and drag you here to prayer. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. It's not going to be over quickly like it was for the lamb in the old covenant. The lamb only suffered for a moment while they slit its throat, then it was over. But that body you're wearing, you're going to have till the day you die. It's a living sacrifice because you're killing it every day. What that means is you're putting it on the cross every day. And it doesn't like it. And there's your war, Galatians 5. Flesh wants things. Your spirit wants things. He said to me one time, one of you's going to be on the cross every day. I've had days where the flesh won. Those days are over, as far as I'm concerned. At least that's my confession. Mushy or not mushy. That's not the title, Angie. Although it wouldn't be bad. Even when you feel like mush. Remember what Dave would say? Remember? You start really giving yourself to fasting and prayer, you're going to become a target. Remember? He said, so he gives a story of that guy that set himself to prayer, fasting. So he became a target, you know, and all hell was unleashed against this guy. Boulder rolled down off the mountain, rolled right through his house, rolled over him, crushed all the bones in his body, flattened his car, remember? His wife left him, kids left him, dog bit him. In other words, everything you can think of, you know. And the next thing you find out, you see that guy coming down the Union out here, coming down Union Street, and he's the only thing that works on his body is his right earlobe. And you see him, he's coming down, his right earlobe is pulling him down the road. You know, he's laying on the pavement and his right earlobe's dragging him. What in the world are you doing? Where are you going with that right earlobe? I'm going to prayer. See, mushy or not? Going to prayer. Unless you're not, going to do some more fasting. Unless you're not, going to confess the word. Unless you're not, we're going to have revival. We're not going to stay mushy. We're going to fly. The day comes, you come out of that cocoon. Now, it's no fun in the cocoon. But I believe it's a great day that the day that cocoon gets ripped apart and the butterfly takes off. Dave would say, you're going to be a happy camper. Going to be happy that you stayed and prayed. I believe it. Have we read verse 1 yet? that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. See, that word holy, when I try and connect it with my body, at first it was just so hard, you know. Present my body holy? I know my spirit's been made holy. I know my mind is in a process of renewal to agree with my spirit. So I kind of see it as progressively holy. But my body, that old stinky sin-loving thing, that'll do anything that I let it do. Present that thing holy. But then that next word, only recently has it really, I mean, it's been in there forever, but only recently have I been seeing why. Because see, it has to be acceptable unto him. After today's lesson, you're going to understand that a lot more. You think you do now. Some of you probably do. But this body has to be presented holy and acceptable unto who? See, it's a sacrifice. We're offering it to him for his use, which is your reasonable service. Now, that's the verse I want to focus on, but let's read verse 2, because we'll wind up coming to it in the course of the lesson. Be not conformed to this world, and this was Alan's message this morning. Did a masterful job. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. I don't know how long it took before the truth of that really hit me. See, there's so many born-again people that are truly born-again. Their spirit is born-again. They're on their way to heaven. They've got the nature of Christ in them. For various reasons, perhaps the church they grew up in, perhaps where they go, perhaps the doctrine that they listen to, their mind never gets renewed. Not really. Some of them, I know most of my relatives still to this day, they love God. They really do love God. They're saved. They're on their way to heaven. They'll tell you right now, they're just an old sinner saved by grace. Well, you see, you've been taught. You know that is not scriptural. They'll fight you. They'll fight you, boy. It's the renewing of the mind that literally causes this transformation. Because you can be born again in your spirit, but if your mind still thinks like the world, you're going to be pretty much conformed to the world. And that's exactly what Alan was teaching this morning. I'm going to go ahead and use this example because it's coming now. I thought it would be later. See, in John 21, don't turn there. In John 21, Alan brought this out this morning. There came a point in Peter's life. He says, I'm going fishing. And I'm going back to what I know. Got to remember, Jesus has died on the cross. And I'm just going back to what I know. And fishing's not evil, is it? Fishing's a good occupation. And so they went back to fishing. Went back to what they knew in the world. Can I say it that way? And there's nothing sinful about that. But see, now Jesus had a... Yes, sir. Let me say it this way. Peter could have stayed in that mode the rest of his life, even though Jesus appeared to him. See, Jesus appeared to him and said, three times, Peter, do you love me? And really, it's a little more detailed than that. Still, do you love me? Finally, Peter says, Lord, you know. You know everything. You know if I love you. Jesus said every time, if you love me, feed my lambs. See, that was God's purpose for Christ in Peter. Can I say it that way? God had plans for Peter. God knew he wanted to use Peter to open the gospel to the Gentile world, for example. It's one thing God wanted to do. But see, Peter could have resisted that. Even after Jesus appeared to him, he could have. Said, I hear you, but this is kind of Alan's message. See, this being not conformed to the world is two ways. You know, one is sinful, doing the sinful things that the world does. Alan's message this morning was the other side of that coin, not doing sinful things. We have no record that Peter ever was an alcoholic or a glutton or a gambler or anything else. No, but he could have said on the, can I say the righteous side of the world? He could have said, I hear you, Lord, but you know, I failed you before. I failed big time. I think what I'm going to do, I think I'm going to go ahead and spend my life fishing. But I'm going to fish for God. I'm going to make a lot of money in this fishing business, and I'm going to give tithes and offerings, and I'm going to I'm going to give some of the fish to the poor. He could have come up with this natural way of thinking to continue doing something that's righteous in the world. It's a good occupation, being a fisherman, doing it for God, spend his life that way, and end up going to heaven. But never find God's purpose for his life. Never walk in what God really called him to do. So we've got to understand, and this is my lesson. Now, that's review. Because I want your mindset along the same path. See, the truth of it is, we are Christ's body. He can only do through us what he, I'm going to say, persuades us to do or that we agree to do. Once we've heard him, he's got things he wants to do, but he, see, if you'll allow me, each one of us, all of us collectively, but each one of us individually, we are the body of Christ. They're in there together, you know. It's a mystery. Even Paul said this is a great mystery. It's kind of like marriage, but it's a deep mystery. Remember that? Husbands, love your wives and so forth. See, Sue and I have been married a long time, 44 years. We both live in the same house. This will work. We both live in the same house. But can y'all tell Sue is Sue and Gary is Gary? But see, we're also something else. We're a couple. We're united in raising our children. We're united in serving God. We're united. There's two of us, but we're one as a couple in the same house. Well, it's very similar. Paul was trying to use that. It's very similar. Christ in us. There's Paul in there, but Christ is in there, but they're one. But they each have their own personality, if you'll allow me. But one of them is going to be the Lord. And Christ might say, Paul, leave this fishing business. I want you to follow me to open the door to the Gentiles. And Paul says, no, I'm just going to stay here. I hear you. But I failed before. This is why Paul said, I have to forget those things that are behind. Whether they're bad or good, by the way. Bad or good. Because it only really matters where you and Jesus are going from here. Amen. Isn't that right? But see, Paul's body, what I'm trying to get, God can only use that body. Yes, sir. Now, again, there's two of them in there. But one of them is going to be the Lord. One of them is going to make the decisions. One of them is going to yield. Is that okay? So, that body belongs. Yes, sir. It is really up to Paul to present his body a living sacrifice to whatever Jesus wants, whether Paul likes it or not. Okay. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, let's look at verse 5, and I really just after the last part. Well, it's the whole thing. It says, wherefore, when he, that's Jesus, cometh into the world. Now, he's talking about here when he first came into the world through the womb of Mary. Okay? Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrificed an offering thou wouldest not. Now, notice. But a body hast thou prepared for me. Well, now, who is me in that verse? That's Jesus. Who is thou? That's the Father. Good, you're a good class. Good class. So the Father, by the agency of the Holy Spirit, who came upon Mary, remember what the angel said? The power of the highest shall overshadow thee, and the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, however it's worded, and that thing that shall be conceived of thee, and so forth. So the Holy Spirit, we've been learning in our lessons, another name for him is the Spirit of the Father. Remember that lesson? The Spirit of the Father? So the Spirit of the Father comes upon Mary in order to produce a body. Got it? To produce a body that's going to house Christ. Good. Is that okay? Now, the first body prepared for Jesus was a physical body in the womb of Mary. We do not fully understand the process, but somehow the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, overshadowed her, and germinated the seed of life within her that resulted in baby Jesus being born. Now, this was the first body prepared for him by the Father. His spirit was born of God, but his body was of the earth through Mary, right? And could be traced all the way back to the first Adam. Okay? Now, that was when he came into the world. That's the body that the Father first prepared for him. Well, now, he's got a different kind of body. Now, you don't have to look these up, but 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, now, in this dispensation, now, you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. So collectively, we are the body of Christ. But individually, we're each a member of that body. And each member has a calling. And that calling may evolve over time. Paul started out as a prophet or a teacher. Remember that? But he wound up being an apostle. Okay? Another one that's real good for this is Ephesians 5:30. And I love this one. Well, I love them all. It says, for we are members, we. Look around and say, we. We are members of his body. Now notice, of his flesh. Notice, of his bones. He has no body on this earth except us. You're the hands he gives through. You're the lips he speaks through. You're the mind he thinks through. You're the hand he lays on the sick. This second body that the Father has prepared for Jesus is made up of the physical bodies of millions of believers around the world. But it is important to understand that thou, the Father, has prepared both. A body thou hast prepared for me. See, the very life of Christ had to be germinated within us by that supernatural power of that same Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Father. We know it's the life of Christ we receive, the same life that was in him. But that's the same life that was germinated within Mary also. You got that? But see, that life, we're quickened with that same life by the same Holy Spirit. He comes upon you when you receive Christ, and that life is conceived on the inside of you. But through that process, it's a whole different body system. Because when that life was conceived in you, do you notice you didn't go back to being a baby? I was 33 years old. My body was addicted to alcohol, addicted to nicotine, addicted to pornography. And I'll tell you some worse addictions if you... More deceptive addictions, let me say it that way. Love of money. You talk about the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Are you kidding? My whole world was about that. Let me get back to my notes here. The very life of Christ had to be germinated within us by the same supernatural power of that same Holy Spirit. We were quickened to new life when we believed in Jesus Christ. We are progressively maturing into the fullness of the stature of Christ as we allow the Holy Spirit to nurture our new nature. Am I at the right church? We don't have to go over that, right? Okay. God is love, and as love matures in us, we are no longer children concerned with childish things. We become mature men and women who must be about our Father's business. But what I'm talking about up to this point is pretty much the maturing of the spirit person within you. But what about the body? Now turn to where I'm so grateful Alan didn't go. Go to John 15. What about the body? See? We've been taught so much about the maturing of the new man, being taught by the Holy Spirit, a mortification process, that type of thing. But what about the body? What about the body? So it is the Father that quickened that new life in you anyway by His Holy Spirit. And now notice John 15, verses 1 and 2. Jesus says, I am the vine. In other words, He is our life. But notice, my Father is the husbandman. Isn't that interesting? I am your life. Now, could I say from the inside? Can I say He's obviously drawing an analogy of a grapevine. I always go back to watching my grandpa's. I used to just love to go out and look at my grandpa Shoemaker's grapevine. Man, that old gnarly looking. That vine looked ancient coming out of the ground. I mean, I don't know how old it was, but it looked old. Come out of the ground and go on. He had that thing trained on some wire that went, I don't know how many. Of course, when you're 5 years old, it seemed like it went on forever, you know. But Jesus, the life is inside. Jesus is the life. He's the sap running through the vine, right? So that's why He says it this way. I am the vine, all right. That's where your life, it's the life of Christ coming into you. I remember my grandfather, though, walking down that vine with shears. Because he's doing something on the outside. Y'all ever hear of suckers? You know, these little limbs come out that's never going to produce fruit. But they're sucking the life out of the vine. My grandfather was not nice to those suckers at all. What did he do with them? Clip. Yep, that's not going to produce fruit. Clip. That's not going to produce fruit. Clip. Clip, clip, clip. Not pleasant for the sucker. What do you... Come fast and pray. And you come fast and pray, and the first thing you see in a vision is a big pair of shears coming right at you. What's that? Stand right there and be nice. It'll be okay. I don't think it's going to be okay. Clip. Ow! Anyway. It's the Father is the husbandman. Now look what He says. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. So this is something from the outside. The analogy here is like any vine dresser knows all about this. The life is from the inside, but the pruning is from the outside. Is that right? Every branch in me, so you're a Christian, that beareth not fruit, though, he's going to take that away. Now later on He talks about some branches that don't stay in Him. The imagery is real clear. You better be in Christ. Because if you're not, they're just gathered and burned. Don't need to even preach there. You know what that means. But He's talking about every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it. And that's just the same Greek word for pruned. It's a snip. It's a clip. It's a cut. It's a go away. He removes it. Why? That it may bring forth more fruit. See? Now you got to understand this. During these times of purging, one of the prophecy titles is Complete the Purging Process. During that time of purging or pruning, the Father is not removing anything from you that is like Christ. Now let that sink in for a minute. Yeah, but it's painful. It's not like Him. It's got to go. He's not removing anything from you that's already in His image. But He is pruning away things that are not like Christ. And those are what the Bible calls lusts of the flesh. Now, when I say lusts of the flesh, it does include your Galatians 5 type list. Adultery, fornication, jealousy, witchcraft, all of those things. Okay? Drug abuse, alcohol, all of that. It does include that, but it also includes the flip side that Alan was talking about this morning. And the kind that I was just as addicted to: success, fame, fortune, the admiration of men. How did it start off? Bigger cars and VCRs. And as technology went on, it was hot rods and iPods. I don't know what it is now. iPods are gone now, so, for the most part. But what He's pruning away, you got it. No matter how painful, what He's pruning away, even, I'm not, yes, sir. He said, just read it. Yes, sir. So the flesh still wants, now get this, during this pruning process, the flesh still wants what it likes. Even if that means it has to be a slave to it to have it. Now I'll show you. Look at this one. Go ahead and turn to Numbers. It's back where the pages are still new. Numbers chapter 11. Boy, if this is not a perfect type and shadow of the flesh, even if for somebody that's no longer in Egypt. This is God's people. They've already been delivered out of Egypt. They've already crossed the Red Sea. Paul called that a baptism. They're already out of Egypt through their baptism, quote, into Christ, if you'll allow me. But boy, the flesh dies hard. I heard one preacher say one time, it didn't take long for God to get Egypt. Excuse me. It didn't take long for God to get Israel out of Egypt. It took a long time to get Egypt out of Israel. See, and that's what's going on in this purging process. God delivered you spiritually out of the world in a heartbeat. But it's taking a little time to get the world out of us. Okay. So Numbers 11, verses 4 through 6, we're going to look at here. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. Have you ever fell a-lusting? Don't answer. The mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? Now notice this part. We remember the fish. Now I'm going to do it. Bear with me. Oh. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. The cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Oh, just a moment. They're taking a moment for themselves. Oh. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. Now they're longing for the things of Egypt. Oh, that we had those things. The flesh still likes it, doesn't it? Oh, that we had those things. At other times they said things like, why'd you bring us out here to die? We could have died in Egypt. And they actually talked about going back to Egypt because they wanted these things. They were slaves in Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt. This is a perfect description of fleshly addiction to anything. The flesh wants what it wants. And it does not care if it has to become a slave in order to have it. Heroin addicts want the next hit. And I mean, it can get so bad they'll steal from their own mama to get it. They'll sneak into mama's purse while she's asleep and steal her money just to get another hit. They are a slave. But the flesh still wants it anyway. They were slaves in Egypt and they still wanted it. They would have gone back if Moses would have let them. The other side, look at this. Notice how the flesh loathed the manna. Does not like this manna. The flesh, I don't want this manna. You're forcing this on me and I don't like it. But what's manna a type of? Boy, no answers at all. Jesus said, I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. That manna is a type of Christ, and the flesh doesn't like it because it wants to be Lord. And Christ will not share his lordship. It's not going to be two lords, one or the other. Cannot serve God in mammon, cannot serve God in the flesh. You don't have to turn there, but John 6, 48 through 50, if you want to see this, the type and shadow of the manna being Christ. John 6, 48, he says, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This, talking about himself, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Glory to God. The pruning that is done by the Father is to remove the things from us that still lusts after, quote, the leeks of Egypt. The things of the world that the flesh still loves. And it's not only purely fleshly things like adultery, fornication, gluttony, drug abuse, alcoholism, but also the clean side, can I say it that way? The clean side of the world, like fishing, that the Apostle John warned us about. You don't have to turn here either. I've read it to you so many times. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Warning, church, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passes away, and the lust thereof. Apparently, we're not going to have to deal with that in the new heaven and the new earth. I thank God for that. So that's all going to pass away, but he that doeth the will of God, he abides forever. So the Father is constantly pruning us because he is preparing. Now get this, go back to where a body thou hast prepared for me. Well, the Father is constantly pruning us because he is still preparing a body for Christ to wear. We are the body of Christ. This is why Paul in Romans 12, 1 said we are to, this body that we are to offer him is holy and acceptable unto him. Now, if words mean anything, the flip side of that is if you keep trying to present him an unholy body, it is not acceptable. Never get any amens right there. We wonder where revival is. It's not acceptable. And he's not just talking about drinking and chewing and going with girls that are doing the drinking and the chewing and whatever else. No, it's trying to... When he brings an example, I'm going to use it. And he was using this guy in miracles, all right, but he died an early death. Back in the 50s, I think it was, during the great tent revivals, there was one, I'm not going to say who, but there was a certain well-known one that flew to Australia At that time, Oral Roberts had the biggest tent, for revival on planet Earth. So this man and his team, they flew there to measure that tent in all directions so they could order one 6 inches bigger in every direction. Now that's the pride of life. That's self, that's ambition, personal ambition. Okay? That's the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life right there. Now it's in a righteous way. It's not, he's not out fornicating and stuff, but it's still serving the world. Self, I keep saying self, well, it is selfish ambition. I'm sorry, it just is. Okay? That guy didn't live very long, by the way. Even though he was used of God, and he's in heaven today. See, we're not talking heaven or hell stuff here. We're talking about revival stuff here. Amen. Okay? So, let me read Romans 12:1 to you again. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Paul, I'm going to use you again. So Jesus walks up. Now, Christ is in Paul. Remember the marriage analogy? There's two of them in there. Two in the same house. They both got their personality, but they're a couple. All right? But, you know, Jesus can still, even then, he can walk up to you, right? If you're like in a vision. And he can say, now, Paul, what I want to do, I don't know, I have any idea what you do, so don't read anything into this. It's not prophecy. I want you to quit doing what you're doing, and I want you to let me live in your body to go do this. But it's something that Paul does not like. Okay? It's something he doesn't like. And he says, well, I think I'm going to go fishing. See, and that's the danger. And the thing of it is, you can do that. You can live a good, clean life, and people, you get a lot of self-gratification out of it. You're good at it. And you're doing it, quote, for God. Yes, sir. My job is not to ignore these. I've told this story many times. You know how brides are for their wedding? They start thinking about their wedding when they're 6 years old, I think. They're planning it all out. And by the time the wedding comes, they know exactly what they want. They've revised it 10 jillion times, you know. And so in this particular example, the bride-to-be told the chef that was going to serve the food, I want you to serve lamb. We're going to have lamb at my wedding, and told him all about it. Well, the wedding happened. After the wedding, the food was served, and everybody raved about the food. Man, that is the best fish we ever had. I mean, it was great. It was good. The chef, mwah, everybody, that is the best. But then later on, the chef had to meet the bride. And she says, you know, everybody raved about the food and you did an excellent job in preparing the fish, but I just have one question. Why didn't you do what I asked you to do? And I'm telling you, on that day, I don't want to hear that question from Jesus. But Lord, I went fishing and I made a lot of money and I put it in the buckets and I fed children. I had extra fish. We fed the poor with it, Lord. And we did these things. And Jesus, you did a good job. Pat, pat, pat. I just have one question. What would he have said to Peter on that day if Peter would have stayed fishing the rest of his life? He'd have gone to heaven. There'd have been reward. But somewhere in there, Jesus is going to remind him of that conversation that he had. You know what I really called you to do? I called you to be fishers of men, not fishers of fish. Peter, why didn't you do what I asked you to do? I think becoming mush is okay. If I come out on the other side and he's more Lord than he was when I started, I don't mind them. I don't like this. I'm right on the verge of crying all the time. I don't know why. Sue says I love you and I cry. I don't know why. Yeah. Have a hamburger. I don't know why. I'm going to drag by my earlobe if I have to. I'm going to drag myself back to prayer this week. There's going to be more fasting this week. Okay, we're getting close to the end here. Now, what I'm doing, I'm checking. He's moving me into something that I'm not familiar with, ministry-wise. Don't need to talk about it too much today. But I am treading very lightly and very carefully. Okay? Things will change. Romans 12, 1 again. Let me read it again because there's an important statement right after that. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, based on everything, all these mercies of God, brothers, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, presented holy, so it'll be acceptable to Him, which is your reasonable service. And then the next verse, it took me forever to understand this. The pruning of the body happens by the renewing of the mind. I'm going to say that again. You ought to write that down word for word. The pruning of the body happens by the renewing of the mind. So let's read verse 2 now with that thinking. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed, notice, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And see, he's taken my understanding beyond where it's ever been there. It's only as you renew your mind and submit to Him, the things you hear from Him directly yourself, that you're ever going to find His call for your life. Peter could have kept fishing for God. I'm going to be Christ's fisherman. I fish for God. I make money for God. And there's a calling to do that. There's people that are called to do that. But that wasn't the calling for Peter. But only as your mind is renewed are you pruned, not only from the bad things, but from the fisherman type things, the world type things that thinks this is okay when Christ says, I called you to do something else. So let's talk about renewing the mind in a very simple way. Even in the world, this is true. Alan says, you know, they got Alcoholics Anonymous for people that's not even saved. And it still will help. Amen. So let's just take a heroin addict, not a Christian necessarily, just a heroin addict. Must one day, now we're talking about deliverance by the renewing, a change by the renewing of the mind. So this heroin addict somehow, some way, maybe they had to go through detox first to get in their right mind, but somehow, some way, there's going to have to be a day where their mind thinks this thought: heroin is bad for me. No matter how good it makes me feel. See, it's a renewing of the mind. I will not use heroin again. I'm going to use myself. He's always, you know, kind of mean to me and nice to you. We're not talking about your stuff. Everyone in the room here knows that I smoked cigarettes for eternity in 3 days. Even as a Christian, I smoked way too long. I didn't understand. And the things I did understand, I didn't obey. But that's not today's lesson. I spoke for eternity in 3 days. And let's talk about a renewing of the mind. See? Because, okay. Hang on. Incoming, sorry. Okay, do it this way. I remember right where we were. We were in New York State doing some meetings up there. They had put us in a nicer room than we normally can afford. And it actually had a bedroom and a door and a little living area, you know. And so Sue went on to bed that night, and I just couldn't sleep, so I just staying up. And after a little while, I mean, to me, it was like the Lord walked in the room. And I was still smoking in those days. And the Lord walked in the room and had this conversation with me. Now, we had been spending a lot of time in prayer. But the Lord just, he had this conversation with me. He says, you know that you're coming to heaven with me, whether you give this up or not. And you're doing work for me, and you're going to get a reward for that. He says, even if you don't deal with this in the flesh. And I knew he was talking about the cigarette smoking. He says, and you'll come to heaven, but when you get here, I'm going to have to draw back a curtain. And I'm going to have to show you. Yes, sir. Before he said that, he says, there's places that I want to send you where I cannot send you. They will not listen to a word that you say if you're still smoking, if you're still doing this. By the way, the very next place he sent me was South Africa. And in the region where I was, they sipped wine with every meal. But the custom there, if you smoke, you cannot be saved. It's just a local, that's just the way they are there. Not the way I grew up, that's the way they are there. So he just told me, he says, there's places I want to send you where I can't send you, that as long as you don't deal with this, I just can't send you. So when you get here, you'll come to heaven. It's not a salvation issue. But when you get here, I'm going to have to draw back a curtain. And I'm going to show you all the things it was my will to send you, but I couldn't send you because you refused to deal with this in the flesh. That encounter renewed my mind. I never smoked another cigarette from that day till now. But I'm telling you, the war was on with my body. I know what it is, and I don't want to discourage you to make you think that he can't deliver you without withdrawals. He most certainly can. He delivered me from alcohol after 10 years of drinking alcohol all the time. He delivered me without a single withdrawal symptom. But I'm telling you right now, he did not do that with cigarettes. The war was on, and I mean it was not daily crucified. It was momently crucified. Minute by minute, moment by moment, for about a year and a half, till I finally had a day. And did I use crutches? Yes, I did. I used the lozenges that came. I'd already tried the nicotine gum and the patches. I tell that story. One time I had a nicotine patch on each arm, chewing the nicotine gum, and had to pull over for a smoke break. But anyway, that's another. Talk about addicted. Now, I was addicted. And I was on my way to preach, by the way. Long suffering. Thou art long suffering. Well, the war was on. Somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose. But what changed? See, my body's still addicted. My body, it's willing to stay a slave to cigarettes all the rest of my life. It don't care. It just wants the next hit. But there's a renewing of the mind. To this day, I can't hardly tell that story without seeing it and feeling it. And I said, I can't take that. I can't stand that thought of standing there on that day with him and him showing me, because I love these little things in the flesh. He couldn't use me to do whatever it was. I can't do that. And my mind was renewed, and I never smoked another one. With withdrawals, be doggone. I'm being nice. Doggone the withdrawals, full speed ahead. So that heroin addict has to one day come to a conclusion. It's called a renewing of the mind. Heroin is bad for me. No matter how good it makes me feel, I will not use heroin again. It's the same. Now listen to me. It's the same with every addiction, no matter what it is. And at the same time, you must develop a taste for manna, a taste for the things of the kingdom of God, rather than the things of the world. Righteousness, holiness, koinonia, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. The Word of God must become your daily food so that you can live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus is the Word. The Word is Jesus. Jesus is your manna. The Word is your manna. I don't like it. That's just your flesh. Your spirit loves the Word. Your spirit loves the Word. Eat it. Eat it. Let it develop a taste for it. Your flesh be doggoned. I'm being nice. So since we are the body of Christ, is it okay for me to say Jesus wears our body like a garment? Would that be okay? I mean, we're in there too. Don't get me wrong. It is very much like a marriage. Sue is so different from me, and thank God for it. And her personality, thank God. I love her personality. I'd marry that girl all over again if she'd have me. But she's got qualities that I desperately need. I think I've got a few that she needs. But together we make a different person. We're a couple. And we're united in how we raise our kids. We're united in so many things. How we live our life. How we serve the Lord. It's so similar to Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're in there. You know you're in there. But he's in there. But together you're powerful. But only one of you is going to be Lord. See, that's the thing. And we're, the whole body of us, we are called the bride. Guess what? The husband is the head. And I'm okay with that. I'm trying to be more okay with that. Even if it does make me feel mushy. Now get this image. Just for a moment. Get an image. Just in the same way you can picture Christ, the life being conceived in that little body in the womb of Mary. We can conceive that, right? He's wearing that body, wasn't he? Like a garment. That's his earth suit. He's wearing a body like an earth suit. When I picture it now, him wearing your body like an earth suit. See, that garment, when you read about him in Revelations or you see visions of the Lord, he's you. Now, sometimes a vesture dipped in blood, but most of the time that they see visions of Jesus, he's wearing white, spotless raiment. That is a type of you. During this dispensation, you are his garment. You are his garment. That's why it needs to be presented holy, acceptable. Hating, remember that verse? Hating the garment that's even spotted by the flesh. Let us allow the Father to complete this purging process. I don't care if it's by your earlobe, drag yourself back to prayer. Really recommend listening to those 8 prophecies 30 times. You can listen while you pray. Increase the fasting during this season, which is always right before lunch when I say that. The regimen he's got me on, if I obey him and stick with it, I'll do more fasting this year than I've ever done in my life. And my body doesn't like it one little bit. So what? The caterpillar, it's not fun for the caterpillar. So church, I'm going to finish with this verse. First Corinthians, you don't have to turn there either. 1 Corinthians 13:11. See, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. And I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. He's calling us to be like Jesus, who even at age 12 already understood it enough to say, I must be about my Father's business. Well, I'm 73 and I'm still coming to that conclusion. It's time to put away childish things, worldly toys, baubles, shiny things. Time to put away the toys. Let's finish, let the Father finish this pruning process so that we can bear more fruit and this revival finally take off. Can I get any amens? Now just listen on the inside for a minute. Let's just get quiet for a minute. See, there are those even hearing this today, both here and abroad, where the first focus is on your failures. And those are the very things that I want you to go to the blood, 1 John 1:9, and get it settled with me. That blood is there for the very purpose of washing away your sin, washing away your failure, and reestablishing your righteousness with me. I cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So do that, says the Lord. Do that. But then you and I, arm in arm, we turn from looking past and we look towards the future. And that's the very reason why I need you to allow me to finish this purging process. Because where I'm taking you, you cannot walk now. But if you finish the purging process, you will walk there then. And your joy will be full, says the Lord. Hallelujah. So that sounds like, all right, if there's a past that you haven't taken to the blood, let's get it done. But believe the gospel. Believe that that blood is there to cleanse you. And when you come away from that time of prayer now, forgetting those things that are behind, let's press toward the mark. Amen. I'm just waiting just a minute. There's been an attack on eyes. There has been a literal attack by multiple people that I'm aware of, and probably I see others nodding like, you know, there's been things. Let's just take authority over that. I don't see a line for that. Let's take authority over that right now. See, I'm telling you right now, I don't know how it's going to be exactly, but I do know that the type, you notice we're having less and less prayer lines, and when we do have a line, there's less people in it. That's God. Because what he's doing now, I thank God for how he used Dave, and that was the mind of Christ, okay, for that season. But he is raising up Joel's army now. You have the same Holy Ghost in you that I got in me. You've got the same Christ in you that I've got in me. You've got the same authority in the name of Jesus that I got in me. So let's do this together. Now I'm going to kind of lead it just because so we can all say the same thing. But it's your authority, okay? In the name of Jesus, I come against this attack on the eyes. You spirits of infirmity, you workers of darkness, I rebuke you. Leave this place and every place where this gospel is preached. Go now in Jesus' name. And I speak to everybody's eyes, including my own. You are restored like the eagle. Your eyes are sharp and clear like the eagle. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. And blessed are your ears, for they hear. In the name of Jesus, it is so. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say this with me. I'm a child of God. When I speak to the mountain, I don't doubt in my heart. And what I say comes to pass every time in Jesus' name. Amen. That's the authority he's given us. And another day we'll teach about the keys of the kingdom. Whatever we bind is bound. Whatever we loose is loosed. We've been given that authority. And you've been given it as much as anybody else. Hallelujah. I hope you're getting stuff out of this.